This episode of the Rusty Satellite Show is sponsored by George Barrett, Simonton Realtors. George Barrett is a native Louisvillian with his finger on the pulse of Louisville real estate. Whether you're buying, selling, or investing, call George Barrett with Simonton Realtors to start your journey. Find him online at KentuckyTeamRealtors.com.
Opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
Robbing and shooting and raping and killing, bloody murder, molesting, running airplanes into buildings. Every time I turn around, something else is going wrong. Yeah, tell me, what the hell is going on?
Welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am podcast network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So here's Rick.
And here we are in mid-October on the Rusty Satellite Show. This is Rick Redding, your host, and very happy to be here today in the studios here at the Louisville.am network in the Highlands. A lot of construction going on outside on the roads, but we are back with another great show. I tell you, I've been talking to a lot of people about this show, and they say, what's the Rusty Satellite Show all about? You know, and I've come up with the idea that, you know, what I'm really doing is finding the people that I know and like and am interested in, and that I think you will be too, and just having interesting guests for 10 to 12 minute conversations. And that's what I've got this week. I've got a really great show this week, but I've had Metro Councilmen, I've had entrepreneurs like Gil Holland. I have people holding events like Chris Kimmel of the Idea Festival. I've had some really good interviews with journalists and book writers and a lot of people all focused on what's going on in our town of Louisville, Kentucky. And this week, you know, I've started going out on the road to various locations to do these interviews, and I found it's a lot better. It's a lot more fun, and it's a lot more interesting, I think. This week, you might call it Tourist Week, because I went to two of the city's biggest tourist attractions to talk to people doing interesting things. One was the Slugger Museum, and the other is the Derby Museum. And I'm anxious to tell you what's going on there. Our show always features two guests, and I wanted to say one thing that, before I get into talking about it, my guest, our president here at Louisville.am Network, Dan Vonderheide, has made an improvement. If you go online to Louisville.am or soon on RustySatelliteShow.com, there's a we've made it easier to listen. So you can tell your friends or direct people there. You don't have to go to follow a link or anything like that. You just hit the button and the show starts playing. It's just like that. It's very simple. And that's one of the things I've said, that in order to make this podcast network work, we've got to make it easier for listeners. So there's a big step forward in that, something that we've made a little progress on. So that's a good thing. Now, let me talk about my guest. My first guest, you'll be interested to know. If you know me or you know him, and you've seen us run into each other like we did at the Nulu Festival a couple of weeks ago, my guest Rick Redman is now the PR guy at Louisville Slugger. And before that, he was with the Kentucky Lottery, and before that, he was a local television personality. And obviously, our names, Rick Redding and Rick Redman, are similar, and there's a whole lot more wild similarities that that Rick and I have in terms of stature, in terms of the career we're in. We're about the same age, same a lot of things. We both have three boys. You know, the list goes on and on. And it's very interesting. I had a lot of fun talking with Rick down to Slugger Museum about his job and some of the things coming up there that are very interesting. The Slugger Museum is one of our great tourist attractions in the city. It's a very successful, and so is Louisville Slugger. And I originally talked to Rick because I got a press release, because one of my heroes in the world, Cal Ripken Jr., is coming to town to accept an award, and you'll hear that in the interview. And I wanted to get Cal on the show, and you know, some miracle may happen. I may actually get to meet him and talk to him. That would be great. But barring that, I settled for Rick Redmond. And we you know, you'll really be interested in the story he tells about getting confused. So many people, when they meet one or the other of us, think we're the other one. And so I'm often mistaken for, are you that guy that used to work at the lottery? No, that's Rick Redmond. So anyway, let's get on with it. Here's my interview with Rick Redmond.
The Louisville real estate market is hot, and nobody knows it better than George Barrett at Simmons & Realtors. From neighborhood to neighborhood, work with George to buy, sell, or invest in Louisville real estate. He's often considered a premier agent in town and is waiting and ready to solve your real estate problems. Find George Barrett, Simmons & Realtors, online at KentuckyTeamRealtors.com.
All right, here we are on the Rusty Satellite Show. I am here today at the Slugger Museum, the headquarters of Louisville Slugger, with what some would say is my alter ego. You're hearing this right. It's Rick Redmond. Rick, welcome to the show.
Rick Redding, I'm glad to be here. We get confused so many times out there in the Louisville community.
It is amazing. You know, I thought it'd be fun just to talk with you about this, because it just happens to me. You know, sometimes once a week, sometimes once a month, but somebody will ask me if I'm the guy that worked at the lottery or if I'm the guy from Slugger. And I always say, no, and I understand. Same thing happens to you.
Yeah, it does, absolutely. You know, and I think part of it goes back to my old media days as well, because like you, being a journalist, that's, you know, that's my roots. You know, was a news reporter at WHAS for a long time, and then went to Wave 3 and was the sports director there for quite a while, working with Bob Dominey. And that's when I then left and went to the lottery for a while. And then I've been here at Louisville Slugger Hillerton Brasby for 10 years. So I think a lot of people do get us confused. You know, it's the first name's the same. The first three letters of the last name are the same. It's just you're a D-I-N-G and I'm an M-A-N. And we have those similar you know, roots there in journalism.
Yeah, so. And for those, this is radio, so people don't know it, that there is a sort of similarity to the way we look.
That's true.
And, and I guess we're about the same
about
age.
Same size, and close to the same age. And yeah,
so it's really, really, really strange. Now, you were telling me, we'll get off this topic, but one story that you were telling me happened to you recently. Go ahead and share.
Well, you know, you're talking about how we get confused all the time, and I was at a pretty prominent event within the last probably 6 or 8 weeks, and was introduced to a very prominent business person here in Louisville who shall go unnamed. And this particular business person told me how much he enjoyed my writing and what a great writer I was. And I knew immediately that he was thinking of you, Rick Redding, rather than myself, Rick Redmond. And so just on your behalf, Rick, I made sure that I didn't embarrass you or myself, and I thanked him profusely for his kind words and went on about my way. And part of that is because I think he had a few drinks under his belt, and I just didn't have the heart to tell him. So, but that's the kind of thing that happens all the time, getting you know, you and me confused. So,
right. Well, thanks for boosting my ego here and helping me out with a big shot. So, let's talk about your job here at Slugger. And I know I'd like to just sort of peg it to the World Series is coming up. And, and Louisville Slugger is very prominent in the World Series. It seems like every year there's a media story or two about the making of the World Series bats. So,
right.
So how's that go for you? How's that affect?
Yeah.
Us down here.
Well, of course, the World Series is baseball's biggest stage, and it's the reason that we all really, you know, those of us who are baseball fans, it's what we look forward to every year. It's the grand stage of the game worldwide. You know, of course, the game is very popular in other parts of the world now, including Asia, you know, certainly Japan and Korea and Australia and even some parts of Europe and the Netherlands. It's quite popular. And, of course, we all know how popular it is in Latin America. So it is truly the World Series, but when the World Series takes place here in the United States, the rest of the world truly is watching this, and so that's why it's such a big deal for us. And for us, it's an opportunity to expose our brand, expose our product, which goes beyond just bats. You know, we're known as a bat company, obviously, because that's how we started in 1884 when Bud Hillrich made that first bat for Pete Browning here in Louisville. But of course, our brand has expanded far beyond that now. We make, you know, ball gloves and catcher's equipment and batting gloves and all kinds of accessories and training aids. And, you know, we're far bigger, what we call diamond sports brand, than just bats, even though, of course, that's what most people know us for. And so when it comes World Series time, we're making those World Series bats. Sometimes that's when we introduce some of our innovations in product and send it out there to players. And, you know, we'll be doing that same kind of thing this year. It's just a great stage for us, as well as the great game of baseball that we all love.
Okay, well, we're recording this a week before it airs, so tell me who's going to be in the World Series.
Wow, you know, I tell you, you know, it's been a great season. And of course, you know, a lot of people were really pulling for the Pittsburgh Pirates because, you know, it's been so long for them, and they had a wonderful season. Now the Cardinals have moved on. I think, you know, it's going to be a great series between the Cardinals and the Dodgers. But I think with the pitching that the Dodgers have, of course, the Cardinals have great pitching and great experience as well. But I know that a lot of people in baseball would love to see a Los Angeles and Boston or a Los Angeles and Detroit World Series because, mm-hmm. you know, some big markets, some great history in baseball with all of those teams. You know, I think the networks certainly would love to see Boston and L.A. because you'd have East Coast versus West Coast. Sure. And, of course, you also have that big trade that took place last year of a bunch of those guys going from the Red Sox to the Dodgers, and now they've turned the Dodgers around. And so that could be a great story as well, a great storyline if that happens. So I think a lot of people are expecting that. But I'm kind of thinking that it might end up being a Detroit-St. Louis World Series. Oh, so well, kind of a repeat of 1968 when I was a kid.
Oh,
so,
gosh.
You know, we remember that. Yeah,
I remember that. You know, it's weird the way you remember things. I know that was Mickey Lolich and,
yeah.
and Bob Gibson. All
That's right.
And why do I remember those names? I don't know. But I wanted to ask you about another event because one of my personal heroes is coming to town, and you're not getting me an interview with him. But Cal Ripken's coming to town, and,
yep.
and Cal and I, you know, were born the same week in 1960.
So,
So what's he coming for?
Well, Cal will be receiving our Louisville Slugger Living Legend Award, which is something we started about 7 or 8 years ago. And it's an award that the Louisville Slugger Museum and Factory gives to a great player in the history of the game on the field, but also for their humanitarian efforts and for mm-hmm. the things that they do in the community to make our world a better place to live. And our recipients have been Ken Griffey Jr., Frank Robinson, Ernie Banks, Hank Aaron, Johnny Bench. Last year we had Tony Gwynn, and now we've got Cal Ripken Jr. And as a matter of fact, we do a lot of work with the Cal Ripken Senior Foundation, which is a foundation that Cal and his brother Billy started to honor their father, Cal Sr., when he passed away. And the whole premise of their organization is to reach kids who are in difficult situations through the game of baseball and through sports, and teach them the great things that sports teaches us all in life, and that is hard work, discipline, teamwork, sportsmanship.
Shaking hands.
Shaking
after the
hands
game.
Would be part of that. That would be a big part of that. That you should
important.
Shake hands. And so we work a lot with them. As a matter of fact, I just got an email from one of the guys I work with there closely about putting together some equipment for an organization in Wichita, Kansas. And you know, we just sent some stuff up to New Jersey for an organization that is still facing the devastation of Hurricane Sandy. And so we work closely with them, but that is the kind of stuff that the Ripkens do, and that's the reason that Cal is receiving this award.
And he's coming in town. Is there any public event?
It's by invitation only. He will be here at the Louisville Slugger Museum on the evening of November 8th, and that is the day before our annual auction that we have, where, you know, there are always these great historic items that we auction off. You know, we've had Jackie Robinson's game-worn jersey, and we've had Babe Ruth game-used bats and signed baseballs and things from Ty Cobb and Roy Campanella and Roberto Clemente, and you name it. It's just remarkable. And Cal will be here the evening before. He will do a news conference, and then there will be an event where you know, friends of the company and some of the dignitaries in town will be invited to come and meet Cal and be part of the ceremony where he will receive the award.
Okay, well, great. Well,
and you'll be invited.
I will look forward to going.
You. Absolutely.
If I get an invite.
Well, you'll get
that.
An invite.
So, well, that's funny. Now, also, I wanted to ask you about I did see one story in the media a couple weeks ago about how the use by major league players of slugger bats is either down or has been overtaken by another company. How could that be? How could it not be number one?
Well, first of all, we have not, I can assure you, we have not been overtaken by another company. But I will tell you that we have more competition now than we've ever had. We've been number one for over 100 years. We're still number one. I guarantee you we'll be number one next year when the 2014 season starts and throughout that season. But we are facing more competitors than we've ever faced in the history of our company. And this is our 129th season. Next year will be 130. For a long time we had maybe two or three or four companies that we competed against in making bats for major league players. Today we have 31 competitors. And so when you start thinking about 31 companies nipping at your heels and grabbing a player here and grabbing a player there, and you know, they can take care of, you know, five or six players, you know, really well, while we're trying to take care of, you know, hundreds, then there can be some erosion, and we have seen that. But what I can tell you is what it's done for us as a company, it has made us work harder. It's made us become even more focused. And as I told a reporter, and unfortunately he didn't include this in his story, and I wish he would have, because, you know, we're the kind of company where we love the American dream. You know, our company was created on the American dream, and we value hard work, and we value entrepreneurship, and we salute those other companies that are willing to take us on. And we like competition. We think competition's great. It's the American way, and it's making us better. And so, you know, if somebody had to do something to get our attention and go, hey, you know what, you guys make a pretty good product, but maybe you can even do it better. And so we're finding ways to improve our product, and I've seen some stuff that we're going to be introducing at the start of next season, and it is going to blow people away.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Bats?
Absolutely. Yeah, and professional baseball bats. It's okay. Going to blow them away.
Well, very good.
Yeah.
Well, I'll be anxious to hear about that. Now, we're here at the museum, I guess, the tourist attraction here. You're still doing well?
Doing great. You know, we've had record year after record year. We are on target now to reach and surpass 300,000 visitors a year pretty soon. When this museum opened in 1996, at the estimates were that it would do probably somewhere in 175,000-180,000 visitors per year. Mm-hmm. You know, we surpassed that right out of the gate, immediately went over 200,000. We've surpassed 250,000 visitors a year. And now, and fortunately, with the Future Farmers of America FFA convention returning to Louisville for several years, that's a huge week for us. And we'll get 20,000 plus just that week. So that's going to help us on top of everything else that we've had going on. And of course, you know, we have to salute the Convention and Visitors Bureau and, all the other attractions around town that have done a great job of bringing tourism into Louisville, because once they get people here, they certainly want to come visit Louisville Slugger because of our brand.
So it helps you, all these other attractions.
Absolutely.
That
you know, we work
well.
Very closely with the other attractions on Main Street, the Fraser, the Science Center, the Ali Center. We're really excited about Kentucky Kingdom reopening because, that's the kind of thing that will, help. You know, a rising tide raises all boats, and we think that Kentucky Kingdom will really help because it's going to bring more conventions to town.
All right, great. Well, my idea for us with our mistaken identity, why don't we switch jobs a couple of days?
Hey, that'd be
see
fun.
If anybody notices.
You know what? I mean, one of the things I still do get to do every once in a while is write some stuff, some internal communications, some external communications, some news releases and things. So, I still love to write. I just don't get as many opportunities. And you know what the heck? We could do a job trade.
That'd be a lot of fun.
Good deal.
All right. Well, you did great on radio. So thanks for being on the Rusty Satellite Show, Rick.
Hey, it's always a pleasure seeing you, Rick. And let's keep confusing people out there.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right, Rick Redmond. That should end the confusion about our names. Thank you for coming on the show. It was great. And I'm looking forward to that invite to see Cal down at the Slugger Museum in November. That's going to be a great event for our city, and great to have a big shot like Cal Ripken in town. I want to mention one thing about the show that we have we're proud to have a sponsor. It's George Barrett of the Seminon Realtors. His website is Kentucky Team Realtors, and George is. And generously offered to sponsor the show, so we're very happy to be like a real business around here at the Rusty Satellite Show. So thanks very much. I think we'll have another sponsor coming on next week or the week after. And if you want any information on becoming a sponsor, of course you can get in touch with me in a lot of different ways. anyway, it's very exciting to be getting this show, getting some momentum. Week number 17, really getting things going around here. I tell you, there's not a lot of I've been on the road this week. I've been at a trade show for my day job in Northern Kentucky, and it's funny how when you go out of town, you sort of lose track. You know, I guess people don't do it as much anymore, but I certainly lost track of the news, anything that's going on here in town. I know there's a story about an agreement between the Yum Center and the University of Louisville that has gotten some attention. And, you know, I guess what I hear most people talking about, I was up with a bunch of people from outside of Louisville at the trade show, is sports. And you know, it's a big, heady time for the University of Louisville. We got a game Friday night against Central Florida, and hopefully Cards will make it 7-0 against the Knights. Again, you know, it's sort of a shame the whole thing with Teddy Bridgewater and getting the Heisman is I think he's losing some steam just because he's not in any big time competitions. You know what happened last Thursday? Gosh. You know, the big nationally televised game for Louisville against Rutgers, and why are we all so disappointed? The team won by two touchdowns against a serious rival, and everybody at the game, I was at the game, and you know, it was just such a letdown. If it's not 49-0, you know, it's not considered a big enough win, and that's the predicament that the University of Louisville finds itself in this year. Next year, it's going to have this great, you know, these great list of opponents, but we're not going to have Teddy Bridgewater. So, anyway, some of the I saw a list of the top five Heisman candidates the other day, and Teddy wasn't on it. But you know, you never know what's going to happen. There's a lot of great players in the country, and it's hard to get on that list, and especially hard if you're not playing high profile games against high profile opponents, and that's unfortunately the case with Louisville and Teddy Bridgewater, but. Nonetheless, we'll be 7-0 after tonight. The people out in the state, some of the people I talk to that really like Kentucky, they just actually don't acknowledge Louisville. There's a lot of news about basketball season coming up. All the Kentucky fans, I think that I talked to there, they're all excited about all these great recruits. Well, you know, Louisville has proven players that have won a national championship on their roster, and Rick Pitino and. You know, it's going to be a very exciting year in basketball, and that'll be coming up before you know it. Here we are in mid-October. Before you know it, the time's going to change and sort of turn our attentions elsewhere. Maybe we'll turn our attention to bourbon. That's the subject of my next guest. I was really interested. I got a press release the other day that said a friend of mine, Fred Minnick, is going to be the new sort of bourbon ambassador for the Derby Museum. They're going to have tastings and educational sessions that Fred is going to lead. And it's sort of a, you know, it's a job that I'd like to have, man. Wouldn't that be fun? But see, I couldn't get it because Fred has put the time and effort into researching bourbon and knows a lot about bourbon. So I went over to the Slugger Museum and I saw the setup where they're going to have these tastings and these classes. And as you know, the Derby Museum is it's a separate from Churchill Downs, but the Derby Museum is trying to attract an audience, and so they're getting on the bourbon trail. They're getting up, and they've hired Fred Minnick to teach these classes and get these people in here. Coincidentally, Fred also just finished a book called Whiskey Women, and it's not what you might think it is. It's mainly a historical book about the role of women in the development of bourbon and whiskey over the years. And so I got a chance to sit down and talk with Fred about that. Very interesting conversation. He's a fascinating guy. I urge you to, you know, go to rustysatelliteshow.com in the next day or two, or if that's how you got here, and see the pictures of Fred and also a picture of Rick Redmond with me, so you don't get confused about which one is which. So anyway, let's take a listen. Here's Fred Minnick.
You love Louisville. You want Louisville when and where you want it? There's something new every day at Louisville.am.
Coming to you from a legendary venue in our city, Churchill Downs and the Kentucky Derby Museum. And I'm here with Fred Minnick, who has the coolest new job that I can ever imagine having, and I'm going to let Fred tell you about it. Fred, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me. The job is I'm the new bourbon authority for the Kentucky Derby Museum, where I will teach classes about bourbon and host convention crowds and weddings, or really whoever wants to learn about bourbon whiskey.
Wow. Now, I applied for that job, I know, and didn't get it. But, Fred, seriously, how did this come about? I mean, I know that visitors to Churchill Downs are interested in horses, and the bourbon connection is it's always been associated with the track, I guess, but to this level is new, right?
Well, they had an affiliation with Four Roses a year ago, and they also did they've done some special bottlings with Four Roses before. And they approached me. I'm basically a bourbon writer, a whiskey writer. I write for magazines and websites around the world, ranging from USA Today to Whiskey Advocate to Bourbon Review. I also blog at fredminnick.com. And so I've worked with everybody in the industry, and they just came to me and asked me if I would be interested in presenting, giving classes about bourbon so they could have something else to offer visitors who want to check out Churchill Downs and the Kentucky Derby Museum.
Sure, and I can imagine the challenge. I mean, you've not done anything like this before, exactly like this before. What are the components of the classes?
Well, I've given classes around the country before. This is one where I find that there's a lot of misconceptions about bourbon, and my goal is to kind of break through a lot of myths and teach people how to find the bourbon they like. A lot of times what happens is people will taste a bourbon and they don't like it, and so they write off bourbon entirely as a category. And my goal is to show them that there are different styles of bourbon and that there's a style for everybody. And if you think about buying a bottle of wine, when you go to the store, you know what kind of wine you want. You want Cabernet Sauvignon, you want Malbec. The grapes are on the label. That is not on the label of all bourbon bottles. And so my class really breaks through a lot of what's on the label and tells about what's inside the bottle. I'll talk about the history, and I'll talk about a lot of how bourbon is made. But mostly I'm trying to give someone where they can leave my class and buy exactly what they want.
Okay, and the good news is we get to sample the product.
That's
during the
right.
class.
That's right.
Okay, well, I always ask people when I talk about bourbon, you know, how do you drink it? You know, how do you enjoy it?
Well, I think you should drink it however you damn well please. I don't think there's
Amen,
any
brother.
Way. I don't think there's – this is – bourbon is amazing because it's not a snobby category. Mm-hmm. You know, this isn't somewhere where you have to, you know, if you don't swirl it around and hold it to your nose and go, it's so lovely. I mean, you're not going to get kicked out of the room. Bourbon is a laid-back, very chill, very approachable drink. And if you want to put it in a wine glass and swirl it around and look pompous, hey, man, no one's going to give a crap. If you want to put it, making it, you know, it's great in cocktails. It's great with a piece of ice. If you like it neat, if it's too hot for you, add some water. I mean, there's no wrong way to drink bourbon. I'll give a couple of theories in the class, but, you know.
Well, you're not, like, totally paid off by Churchill Downs because you didn't say in a mint julep was the only way to have it. So
yeah, well, you know, we do have a class where we talk a little bit about the history of the mint julep and the old fashioned. But really what it comes down to is that, you know, I want people to drink bourbon however they want to.
Sure. Now, and we'll move on from this, but how to, for the Rusty Satellite listeners out there, I mean, if I want to go to one of your classes, is there a way to do that?
Absolutely. You can go to the derbymuseum.org derbymuseum.org, and all that information is there.
Okay, great. Well, let's move on to another passion of yours or thing that you got on your plate, and you must be very proud. I know you as an author, Fred, because I remember reading and doing a story about your book about the war.
Mm-hmm.
What was that called? I forgot.
Camera Boy, an Army Journalist War in Iraq. Yeah.
There you go. And it was a very great book. But you've got a new book out, and it's called Whiskey Women. And tell me about that.
Well, women have been a part of the whiskey industry since its very beginning. Women invented beer. Sumerian women invented beer about 4,000 BC. Women invented distillation. Egyptian women furthered the art of distillation. But all these women have contributed to Lafroy, Maker's Mark, Bushmills, all these incredible, iconic whiskey brands, but they've never received any credit. And this was kind of influenced by the new organization, Bourbon Women. When they came out, I started looking into the history of women in whiskey, and I was shocked no one had ever written a book about it. So I was like, I'm going to do this.
Wow, cool. I was kind of expecting like some scantily clad chicks in here, but the pictures are black and white, and it's really a history book, I guess.
It really is a history book. In fact, the reviews that are coming in now have been like, wow, I didn't know that. And like, wow, this is a very, you know, deeply researched book. And those mm-hmm. are some of the greatest compliments I could ever ever ask for.
Wow, I see my favorite. A.J. Jacobs has the first blurb on the back. It says, Fred Bennett gives us an entertaining look at booze's little-known history. This book goes down smooth. A.J. Jacobs, that's really cool. You know him?
Yeah, actually, A.J. and I both belong to the American Society of Journalists and Authors.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I guess I should sign up for that group, huh? American Society of Goofy Bloggers. I know. That'd be what I was in. So anyway, how's this book being distributed? And who's your publisher?
Potomac Books is the publisher. It's an imprint of the University of Nebraska Press.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find it wherever books are sold. It's also going to be available on Costco. It's available on Amazon. If you happen to live in Australia, you can find it there, hopefully. The good news is, I mean, a lot of people have been interested in it. And
sure.
I'm
sure there's a lot about Kentucky in here.
There's a lot about Kentucky in there. Specifically, you know, Marge Samuels is a big part of what I consider to be the evolution of the bourbon industry and really all of spirits, the entire spirits industry. And she's probably the most prominent Kentucky woman in here. She, of course, developed the packaging for Maker's Mark, invented the red wax, and basically changed the spirits industry with packaging.
Okay. Well, I'll be anxious to read this. I appreciate the copy you've given me here.
You got it.
And we'll look forward to now. It's going to be out to like next week. Let's go with dates. So it's
October 14th. And I'll be
okay.
doing signings. I'm doing a signing October 14th in Silver Dollar.
Okay. That's the start. I'm sure there'll be others.
Yeah.
So and people can keep up with you at I guess fredminnick.com or
yeah, that'll work.
Okay,
just Google
MINNICK. And I just while we got a few minutes here. I want to talk to you about your background is very interesting. I know because of the other book you wrote,
right.
and you're here in Louisville for what reason?
Well, I moved here in 2005 to be with the woman who is now my wife.
Okay, it's a good enough reason.
It's a great reason. And I started out, I think, at a company you used to work for called NetWorld Alliance.
Uh huh.
And that was my first job in Louisville as a food editor. Within like 8 months, I went out on my own as a freelancer, and that's when I started writing about bourbon and wine. And it was last year I was nominated for an International Wine Writer of the Year award. And at that time, I was writing equally about wine and bourbon, you know, for the likes of Wine Enthusiast and Costco Connection. And I was, you know, I had my own whiskey column at the time, and I was doing very similar stuff in wine. But it was when I was in the pinnacle of the wine writers of the world, when I realized that, you know, my heart's not in this. My heart's in bourbon.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of like, as a writer, I was always trying to do both wine and bourbon. And it was and it worked fine. But the fact is, you know, bourbon is definitely where my heart is. And that's kind of, it's a very passionate industry. The people are great. There's so much cool history to it.
And I'm sure it's hard to straddle the fence. I mean, you don't go out for a night on the town and have a couple of bottles, glasses of wine, and then switch over to bourbon, right? You got to do one or the other.
I think anybody can do whatever they want as long as they do it responsibly. You know, I'd hate to hear about someone drinking a couple of bottles of wine and then a couple of bottles of bourbon. They may not be around the next day.
That's very true. So I understand we're going to try a tasting here, and and let me just describe for our listeners that there's a room here on the second floor of the Derby Museum where there's some fancy decor and a lot of bottles of bourbon around, and I can imagine this room full of people sampling things and enjoying themselves and going to your classes. So what kind of tasting are you going to treat me to here?
Well, today, really what I want to show you is the difference between wheated bourbons and rye bourbons. And so Bourbon has to be at least 51% corn, and they use secondary grains to help, in the mash. And what they normally use is either wheat or rye. The most common one is rye. And so we're going to do a tasting of, a wheated bourbon, which is Maker's Mark, and a higher rye content bourbon, which is Four Roses Small Batch. And then we're going to taste a Woodford Reserve Double Oak, which is what I consider to be the new age of bourbons, in that it's finished in a second barrel.
All right. Well, that sounds very exciting. It's time to cut our Rusty Satellite listeners off here. And thank you, Fred, for being on the show.
My pleasure.
And looking forward to having a few sips here.
You got it.
I want to tell you, when I was down there, it was a weekday afternoon, and I really wanted to stick around and sample, do a lot more tastings, as he calls it, of some bourbons, but held off, and, that's the right thing to do during the day. It's very exciting. I got to tell you, I can't tell a whole lot of difference. I don't have a palate, I guess, that would be that would be able to recognize distinctions between vanillas and oaks and cinnamons and all this stuff. I do drink occasionally the new flavored bourbons with the honey and the cinnamon. Those are really good. But anyway, Fred is, you can get information at derbymuseum.org about what's going on with the Derby Museum and their bourbon classes and tastings. And anyway, another show number 17 in the can here at the Louisville.am network. I want to say thanks again to George Barrett of Seminin for being a sponsor of the show. And look forward to it. I've got a long list of people I want to get on the show in the near future. And so it's going to be a very exciting month or two. Please tune in again. Again, it's Rusty Satellite Show. I've got also on a website, LouisvilleKY.com. There's a lot of great stuff there. This is the Rusty Satellite Show with Rick Redding. I'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, @RickyRedding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to louisvilleky.com, the pulse of the city.